I have a message this morning that absolutely was given to me by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth him. I'm utterly dependent on the ability of the Holy Ghost this morning. The subject I have been given by the Holy Ghost is I think, desperate in this hour. And I hope you'll listen to every word. I really do. I hope you'll listen to every word. It's in the book of Mark, our text, chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 23. And you need to listen very carefully, because Jesus is dealing here with dealing with Satan. He's dealing with us, giving us understanding of dealing with Satan. And this world does not understand how utterly under his siege that our nation and our world is now at. The rapture is at the door, and the dark spirits of hell are loose, doing their best to destroy everything that bears the name of Jesus, and everything that bears the sincerity and the truth of Holy Scripture. Listen now. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Now listen, verse 27. This is my text. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, I want to read that verse again. This is very important for you to hear it, okay? Extremely so. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, I think that's pretty definite. Can you hear clearly what he said? You cannot bind a strong man. You cannot take his house. You cannot take what's in his house. You cannot take what's in the devil's possession until you first bind the spirit of Satan, the demon spirit that is behind that bondage. Now go to Mark chapter 16. Let me read a couple verses for you, beginning with verse 16. The church world hates these verses of Scripture. They've been stripped from all of the new translations of the Bible. And in many other translations other than the King James, you'll find a little note that says these verses was not in some of the main manuscripts. So they have really put a question around these verses. But I've read the defense of them. I've read the defense of them. A man wrote an entire book on the many documentations and the many proofs that these verses are in the original manuscripts and should be in every Bible of today. So listen as I read them to you. Verse 16 of Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I want to preach this morning with the help and the wisdom of the Lord and the help and wisdom of the Holy Ghost, and I know God is going to help me preach. I'm excited about God's divine promise to do that. I want to preach on discerning and casting out evil spirits. Discerning and casting out evil spirits. Now, you hear that title. Do you hear that? Discerning and casting out evil spirits. Now, there's not a person in this building who believes. If you are a believer and you've been born again and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus and you pay the price, you humble yourself, you prepare yourself. He said, every believer is able to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues. Every believer. That's what Jesus said. Those were his words in Mark 16. Very powerful, very strong. And so I'm telling you, if you haven't already dealt with demons, you're going to. If Jesus tarries, there's a few more months and years of us living here, maybe even days, you're going to deal with demons. You're going to deal with demons in your family. You're going to have children that are so bound, and you wonder why they're so bound. And I can tell you why they're bound. It's because the devil has bound them. The Bible says he will blind the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. It is the devil that blinds minds. You know one person out there who's blinded, and you can't get them to come to Christ. You can't get them to move. You can't get them to really make a choice for the Savior. And if they come to church, it's just kind of passing. If they even claim religion, it's just momentarily, and they're off and gone. If you're dealing with people like that, and we all are, you must understand the devil has blinded their minds. There is Satan in the play. There is Satan in the action. There is Satan in the conduct. There's Satan behind the scene. Now, everybody that's under the power of Satan is not crazy. And they're not acting like they've got some kind of crazy problem. Many very educated, well educated, many people with great success in many fields of labor. Many people in great success, even in politics, even in the business world, even in the academic world, that are under the power of spirits. Under the power of the spirits, again, don't mean you're crazy. It just means you are being led not by God and angels and the work of the Holy Spirit and the Bible and godly men and women, but you're being led by the powers of the evil one. And he's out to destroy those people and take them to a devil's hell. Do you understand that? Now slip a hand up. Father, would you help your servant? This sermon could be the means of many people being converted. This sermon could be the means of a wife seeing her husband delivered from the power of Satan. This sermon could be the means of seeing a mother see her son or daughter delivered from the powers of Satan. This sermon could be the means of helping a classmate or helping a working companion or helping somebody in the professional world. And I pray for a miracle of understanding and insight on my part and on the part of the hearers this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this sermon is certainly a meaningful one that I must ask you to pray about and pray with as I continue. If you can understand, if we can understand that we're living in a world under the power of Satan, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. Do you understand that? Satan is the god of this world. The Bible also says that Satan, listen now, as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Do you hear that? Satan. As a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Do you understand? The Bible speaks of the wares, the tares of Satan. The Bible speaks of the attacks of Satan. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. If there's anything controlling the thinking abilities of mankind today that is controlling how they think and how they see and how they feel and how they react, you can believe it's the power of the prince of the air. I mean, this is everywhere. This is our world. If you don't believe in the devil, then you don't believe in the Bible. If you don't believe in the devil, then the ministry of Jesus was a joke. for he cast out devils. It was amazing to watch the Son of God go to different places he would go, and immediately a demon-possessed person would stand up and say things like, "Why art thou come here to torment us before our time?" That's things that demon spirits said during the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. He went to Gadara on the coast of Galilee. And here came this maniac running down out of the tombs. And he came with interest in who this was, this Jesus that had just arrived on the coast. And he came and fell down and was delivered. And the Bible suggests he had as many as 2,000 demons that possessed him. So there are many different ways in which Satan manifests his evil in our day. Now let me start off by trying to show you, so you understand that we are wrestling not with flesh and blood in the spiritual activities of this day. Our business, our work of the church, the work of a pastor, the work of a Sunday school teacher, the work of musicians, the work of everybody involved, truly involved in the kingdom of God, you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. It is not somebody who says something ugly to you that is the real source of that feeling or that emotion. It is not somebody who's angry with you that is the true source of that anger. It is not somebody who hates you because you're an old-fashioned Christian. It's not that person. It's not that person that's doing the hate that is the real source of that hate. Behind it, there is a power of evil, and you've got to come to understand it. I have got to understand it better than ever. Let me take you to Ephesians 6, and let's look at verse 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Get yourself prepared for warfare. Put on the whole armor of God. Get yourself prepared for warfare. Put on the whole armor of God. Do you understand that? He's telling you that you may be able to stand against the what? Wiles. W-I-L-E-S, of the devil. Now, what are his wiles? It's his intrigue. It's his attack. It's his schemes. It's his plans. It's the things he comes up with to try to get you. It's the kind of things that he is involved in after your defeat. The wiles of the devil. There's a suggestion there in that word wiles of great intrigue, of great capacity, of great ability. He comes in a way that you cannot recognize if you don't become spiritual enough to discern. The church world is woefully lacking in the gift of discernment. How many know that? Raise your hand if you know that. The church world is woefully lacking in the gift of discernment. I have seen so many people destroyed just by a friend. I've seen so many people destroyed just by somebody they start hanging out with. I've seen so many people destroyed just because they took off somewhere to hear somebody other than being faithful in the house of God. The Bible makes it plain that the devil is a sly old fox. The devil is as slick as it can be. And he's been in this battle at least 6,000 years. And the oldest person here is not even, well, 190, the oldest person's here. Compare 90 years, or maybe 2 or 3 years, some of you, maybe a few months with a few of you. Compare that with 6,000 years. The Bible says that you must put on the whole armor, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If I didn't preach on nothing but that this morning, I would have done you a service. You hear me. The devil is a witty, very, very crude and very carefully planned scheming old devil who wants you destroyed. He wants to hang your carcass on the wall of hell and say, I stole that one from the Paul Creek Church. He wants to hang your carcass on hell, on hell's wall, and said, I stole that preacher, and I stole that lady missionary, and I stole that godly evangelist, and I stole that preacher's wife, and I stole Reverend Chambers' son or daughter. I stole his grandbabies. That's what the devil wants. He wants to hang them on the wall of hell and use them as a trophy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the people that Satan has stole in all these years of the church life, and people he has robbed away from families and members and friends and companions? I mean, when I get to thinking about it, it just disturbs me. It disturbs me. I was thinking of a precious man that a sly woman stole from the heart of Brother and Sister Chambers many years ago. And I think of how he stole him. She stole him from his wife, and she stole him from his kids, and she stole him from the kingdom of God, and stole him from a healthy life, and stole him from a meaningful experience. Let me tell you something. The devil is out to steal, and he always uses somebody that's got flesh and blood. He don't come talking to you himself, or he can whisper things in your ears, but he'd rather use somebody that, you know, is a friend, somebody that you think highly of. So the devil is out. Now, I didn't get to my main verse, because I got to preach it on verse 11, because that really needs to be preached. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, for we wrestle. We're not fighting with flesh. Do you realize how many people around churches, all they do is fight with one another? Do you realize how many families that all the husband and wife does is fight with one another? You realize how many siblings and families that all they do is fight with one another? You realize how many siblings that mamas and daddies will die, and one sibling will try to steal everything from another sibling and try to get all of the inheritance for themselves and rob it from somebody else? Do you realize how much of this is going on in your world? Yeah, it's everywhere. Well, we're not really wrestling with those people. They, whoever they are not really wrestling with those people. They're wrestling with something a whole lot bigger than that man or woman. I'm here to tell you. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Principalities. When you say that word, you're talking about a word up here in the realm of hierarchy. A word up here in the realm of somebody with great charge and great capacity. You're talking about a lieutenant or a general in the devil's army. That's what principalities are. They are chosen demons whom the devil has put in charge of certain territories and certain situations. And I'll guarantee you, he's got a demon, a principality. He's put in charge of doing his best to stop this church and put it out of business. I'll guarantee you, Brother Tom Goodman in Texas, that there's a demon after destroying that church and that good man of God. And you can go all over the whole work of the kingdom and understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities. Can you imagine? Now get this picture. I want you to get it. Can you imagine this big, strong, wise old general devil that Satan has really put a lot of confidence in? And he says to him, you got that. And he says to another one, you go there. And to another one, you go there. And the whole business of the devil is highly organized. There's not a business in America that's more highly organized than the devil's business. And so there's principalities. And then next, there is powers. Powers. And then, look at this. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Every ounce, Brother Marlon, every ounce of the darkness of this world, that crowd of sodomites who marched the streets of Charlotte today, they've got businesses of many descriptions, 100% behind them. There's at least two banks that are in their pocket financially and supportively. I mean, it's amazing what they've been able to accomplish. Why and how have they done so? Because the rulers of the darkness of this world is behind them, supporting them, scheming for them, defending them, searching out helpers for them. I'm here to tell you, the rulers of the darkness of this world are busy, and that's what you're dealing with. That's what you're dealing with. That's what Brother Chambers is dealing with. That's what's trying to tear your home apart. That's what's got your wife all bound up, or your husband all bound up, or your son or daughter all bound up, or your grandchildren all bound up. See, we got to understand that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness, not just wickedness, but spiritual wickedness. Can you imagine now how that Rick Joyner, who teaches some of the most damnable junk you've ever heard in your life, I mean, that man, the stuff that man teaches, whoo, it's overwhelming to me. I am amazed at what he teaches. I really am. Well, let me tell you something. Listen to me. That's what you call spiritual wickedness. All of this charismatic hoopla, where you got people who don't care one lick about the Bible. All they want is a hoopla. All they want is something emotional. All they want is a titillation on the flesh. All they want is to feel something running up and down their backbone. That's all they want. That's really all they want. Listen to me. Now, you got to hear me. I'm telling you that we in a world that is under siege. Come on in, lady. Come on in. We in a world under siege. Darkness is booming. Darkness is growing. Darkness is multiplying. And that's what we're wrestling with. Are you aware of what you're wrestling with? Are you aware of what you are wrestling with? Are you aware of the battle you're in? Are you aware that you don't have a chance if all you trust in is yourself? Do you understand that? You don't have a chance if all you trust in is yourself. No, sir, you can't make it. Now, have I made a point for that? I hope I've convinced you that you and I are in a world under siege. We're in a world with a world of darkness. There's a prince of the power of the air. There's a god of this world. There's a devil going about seeking whom he may destroy. Jesus said the devil comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. Kill and steal and destroy. Do you hear me? That's what the devil's out to do. And you're fighting with him. You're not dealing with that kid at school. You know, there's so many sad things happening. I won't even go into them lest I raise a pain in somebody's heart this morning. But there's so many sad things happening. There's so many dark things happening. They're everywhere. Suicide is multiplying. Every kind of homicide that you can imagine is growing. The Islamics are on the warfare. They are determined to put the flag of Allah up in the White House of America. I don't know what's coming next on this nation and on this world, but I know one thing. I can hardly wait until it's time for me to get out of here. Hallelujah. And when I come back, Jesus will have cleaned it up, Sister Marilyn, and made it a holy place for us to live and enjoy forever and ever. And how many know we've got a heaven coming down here? Hallelujah. And we're going to have a world that's perfect and pure. But right now, it isn't there yet. And I'm not trying to depress you this morning, because I'm thinking to tell you something. I'm going to tell you that the devil doesn't have a bit of power over you if you walk with Jesus like you ought to walk with him. Do you hear me? I'm here to tell you, if you're on fire for God, you're too hot for the devil to handle. If you're on fire for God, you are too hot for the devil to handle. Somebody say that with me, would you? Come on. If you're on fire for God, you are too hot for the devil to handle. How many believe that? Now raise your hand up. Well, then you better get on fire. I'm here to tell you. Because if you're on fire for God, you are too hot for the devil to handle. Now, I want to deal with something. I want you to be able to discern. You've got to discern. I can't always be there to discern for you. And most people today, when you try to help them discern, they will get angry with you. Do you understand that? People really do get angry. I discern sometimes with somebody, and I will try to say to them what I'm feeling and what I'm seeing, and they just get ferocious with me. And knowing I have to back off and just leave them alone and pray. Well, I think maybe my problem through the years has been maybe, and I know I've prayed a lot and fasted a lot and been before God much, but I still don't feel like I've done enough when it comes to that. But I want to tell you that demons have three ways that they operate. You need to hear this. They oppress. And there's many forms of oppression. They obsess. And there's many forms of obsession. And then they possess. See, now that's the way Satan operates. I'll never forget, the Church of God had me to write a large article for the Evangel many years ago on this very thought. And I did much research and study and wrote an article, and I still got it somewhere, on how the devil oppresses, obsesses, and then possesses. Now listen to me. The devil cannot possess a Christian. If you're full of the Lord Jesus and he's living in your heart, he cannot possess you. He cannot possess you. Do you understand that? The devil cannot possess you if you're a Christian. But the devil can oppress you. The devil does oppress Christians. There are many Christians who literally have lost all meaningful joy because they've come under the depression of Satan. And Satan will use many ways to oppress you. He will use many ways to oppress you, to disturb you. He will cast fear upon you. The Bible said, perfect love casteth out fear. Fear is one of the devil's greatest means of depressing people. That's right. He will absolutely so oppress you and so disturb you with fear. There are many forms by which the devil comes to oppress you. I mean, he really is an oppressor at heart. That's what he loves. Every time a good Christian really begins to walk with God, the devil will probably start with oppressing them, finding some reason to disturb their peace of mind, finding some reason to shake them up, getting some feeling of fear or some feeling of jealousy. All of the works of the flesh have their roots in being oppressive against the person whom they attack. Every work of the flesh, every old carnal power of the flesh has oppressive powers. You've got to understand that. Don't let yourself come under any kind of the oppressions of the devil. They are only there as an initial attack that he means to go deeper and further until you are destroyed. Do you understand that? So anything oppressive, false doctrines will oppress you. This week, as I've dealt with this sermon, I've thought of doctrines that are very oppressive. Take, for instance, the doctrine of Jesus only. Jesus only. No Trinity. No Father. No Son. No Holy Ghost distinctly. But just one, Jesus. And he is both the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And they have many ways of saying this, but basically they're oneness people. They're not bad people. I've known many of them. They were good people. I had no reason to doubt they were saved. I have known them that appeared to be saved. They really wanted Jesus, but they had come under this idea, and it possessed them until it became almost only the only thing they could talk about. And I've never seen, never in my life seen, a Jesus-only person that wasn't very depressed. I'm dealing with a man right now who come under that some years ago. I tried my best to steer him away. I could not. I did everything I knew to do. Some of you would know his name if I would call it. I shall not do that. But he come under this oppression of the Jesus-only doctrine, and he's never recovered. Never recovered. He claims to be a Christian. He is a decent man. He has some good traits about him. He loves me like a brother. Loves me deeply, calls me every time he gets in deep trouble, but I can't get him free. Now, I understand it isn't that I'm not trying hard. It isn't that I'm not trying to bind them old spirits, but those spirits have a hold on him, and he's locked in it, and it's depressive. But there's other doctrines. The born-again Jesus had to go to hell and be born again. That's one of the darkest doctrines there ever was. I am convinced that the unconditional eternal security is one of the most binding doctrines that's ever gripped the church world. And anybody who gets bound under the doctrine of unconditional eternal security, it's like they get immobilized. They can't go backward and they can't go forward. They just immobilized. I've never met a person who believed in unconditional eternal security who also preached sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and growing in the nature and the love of Jesus Christ. Because it's an immobile kind of position. And it's the work of the enemy. You say, are they all unsaved? No. No, I believe there are saved people who have been taught that doctrine and ingrained with that doctrine. And I think many times they do eventually fall away and completely backslide, still claiming to be Christians because they believe if they sin, it's okay. They're all going to sin more or less every day, so they usually sin more than less. I'll never forget the man at the prison where I went to. Wonderful man, a guard, good man. A good spiritual man. A man that seemed to have it together other than the doctrine of once saved, always saved. And that we're all going to sin more or less every day. And he would always use that term. We all sin more or less every day. One day I go into the prison and he is on the floor. He is so broken. I mean, this man was destroyed. My pastor ran off with a woman and is committing fornication, Brother Chambers. It's broke my heart. And I said, wait a minute. You told me everybody sinned more or less. And he just sinned more instead of less. So why are you so disturbed? I was trying to get his attention. I don't think I ever did. But I'm telling you, there are many doctrines that are oppressive doctrines. They lock you into a framework. They lock you into a static position. They lock you into an immobile place in your Christian faith and your Christian walk. And I want to tell you something. God's never satisfied with you standing still in this Christian life. You ought to be growing and maturing and digging deep and going forward. How many are hungry for that? I want to grow up. I want to become spiritual. I want anointing of God upon my life. I want the power of the Holy Ghost to baptize me. Well, see, the devil is after the opposite. He wants to lock you into an oppressive state. Well, you understand oppressive, don't you? I think you can understand a little of that. It would take me a couple of hours probably to go into everything that could be named that people are being oppressed with today. It's everywhere. It is an oppressive world. And the devil is the source of all that oppression. The devil is behind every bit of it. Look at the homes that turn into hell on earth because the devil gets a hold of one of the members of that family and sometimes both and just turns it into disaster. You think that doesn't come from the devil? You know that comes from the devil. Well, that's oppression. But then there's obsession. And really, the things that I've said about oppression is really a picture of oppression when it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it becomes obsession. You can be so obsessed with some old crazy idea, some old crazy doctrine, something that got you all messed up. I think of a man and woman who got saved right here not too long ago, and they were just doing wonderful, and they went off with others to hear a preacher that has hated me for so many years I know how many it is, but I won't name them, and they come back, and they never were the same. They were never the same again. They never were happy again. They never were faithful in Brother Marlin's Sunday school class again like they had been prior to that. They just lost it. They just lost it until now. They're out there. I called and tried to get them here today, but they're out there going from hither to thither. Let me tell you something. The devil is out to obsess you, and then he's out to depress you, and then he's out to obsess you. And then, you know what? He can eventually, if he gets you low enough that you go into open sin, he can possess you. And you get a Christian who used to know the Lord, and they're backslid and completely away from God, and they become possessed. Very likely, they will never see the light of day. It will destroy them. And we have a world. If you knew the thousands of people over this area geographically, within, let's say, a 25-mile radius of Charlotte, North Carolina, if you had any idea of how many backsliders, And how many depressed and obsessed and even possessed people are out there. If you knew how many children have been raised in homes where alcohol and drugs and sex was the rule of that home, and how those kids have grown up and now they are absolute disasters. I mean, their life is being lived in utter disaster. If you knew the thousands of them, it would break your heart. And I'm trying my best to break your heart because I want to get you on your prayer bones. And I want to get you so full of the Holy Ghost that you can do what this Bible has told you that you can do. And that is that you can find that house where the devil is ruling. And you can take on that strong man who's ruling that house from behind. And you can fast and you can pray. And you can spend your nights maybe even on your knees in the bedroom crying out to God. Until you break through that darkness and see a miracle of deliverance. Is anybody hearing me preach this morning? Hallelujah. I believe this with everything that's inside of me. That you, every believer in this building, have the ability to cast out devils if you will consecrate, pray, fast, get on your prayer bones and stay there. Pray until the Holy Ghost makes intercession through you with great groanings of spiritual accomplishment and seek the face of God with everything you got. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't name a home this morning that you're going to take on the spirit behind that broken home, I'm going to be ashamed of you. I want everybody in here to have somebody on your heart when you walk out of here. I want you to have some home on your heart when you walk out of here. I want you to have some deliverance of somebody you love and you know. I want you to have them on your heart to see them delivered when you walk out of here. Now you can't bind that strong man. I mean, you can't take that home until you bind that strong man, that demon, that dark devil back there behind the scenes laughing. Every time you pray, he sniggles at you. How you say the word I'm trying to say, mama? Sniggers at you every time you pray. Oh, he just makes fun of you. He makes fun of most of God's people because they don't pray with any degree of victory. Do you know most praying done today is nothing but just kind of cheesy stuff? How many of you know that most praying today has very little power? Do you mind raising your hand? Would you feel like I was assaulting you if I got you to raise your hand? Most praying today has no power. Most praying today is now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, you know, just cheesy praying. Let me tell you, when you really go to praying and you take that old devil on, brother, now you don't get full, you don't take him on till you get full of the Holy Ghost. You understand that? You don't take him on till you get full of the Holy Ghost. You don't take him on when you do it in your own power and your own ability. I'm telling you, I warn you, when you take the devil on, you make sure you fasted and prayed and got that anointing of the Holy Ghost moving up and down the avenue of your soul. You make sure you're full of his touch. Hallelujah. Are you hungry for this? Some of you got husbands and wives. You got family members, friends, loved ones. Raise your hand for somebody that you're thinking about this morning that you want to see delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell you, you are the source of their deliverance. And most likely, if you don't see them delivered, nobody else will. And they'll spend eternity in hell. And you will answer for their blood because you could have been their deliverance. Anybody mad at me? I don't sound like I'm mean preaching this morning, do I? Yeah, I'm mad. Mad at the devil. The only person I'm mad at is the devil and all those demons. I'm mad at the powers of hell coming like a storm. I'm mad at everything that comes out of the lower world, out of the devil's kingdom. I'm angry at every bit of it. I'm angry with every bit of it. I am determined that the Holy Ghost help me to see people delivered. Help me to see people set free. Help me to see people brought to Christ and his saving blood and his saving love. Hallelujah. He's a big God. And he's able. Now, let me take you over here in the book of Luke, I believe it is. The book of Luke. Hallelujah. Oh, that God would help us this morning. Oh, that God would help us this morning. Hallelujah. That God would give us triumphant victory. I'm sorry, the book of Acts chapter 19. I knew I was wrong, but couldn't remember. The book of Acts chapter 19. I want to read you a story, and this will be the closing scripture of my message this morning. I hope I have really got to your heart. Listen to me. This is in the book of Acts chapter 19 and verse 13. Now, the early church, listen to me before you read. Don't get ahead of me. Listen to me. The early church, just like Jesus, was deeply involved in casting out devils. That's the reason they turned the world upside down. Listen to me. That's the reason they turned the world upside down. And most of the church world today laughs at a sermon like this. Am I right, Brother Allen? Most of the church world laughs at a sermon like this. They don't believe this. They don't believe the devil's no threat. I mean, and the devil is like a cockroach. As long as he can hide, he's happy. He just don't want to be exposed. Well, I want to expose him. And here we are in Acts 19. And then certain, this is verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists. You know what an exorcist is? That's someone who claims to be able to cast out devils. That's an exorcist. These are vagabond Jews. They're exorcists. So they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of Jesus Christ, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And this was being done apparently on a very large scale. It uses the word over them, which is means more than one. So they were doing this at different places over trying to mock what Paul was doing and what Jesus was doing in the church. And so these vagabond Jews are busy, and they think they're really making gain. And so there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did this. So there was many of them doing this, apparently. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Demons, pretty smart dudes. You can depend on a demon knows whether you got the real thing or not. A demon listens to your prayers and even probably looks at you, because much of the church world it doesn't look very holy, to be honest with you. Much of the church world, I was thinking this morning, you know, to be a holiness Christian ought to make you the proudest person in the world. It's wonderful to be a holiness Christian. How many of you can say it's a joy to be an old-fashioned holiness Christian? Oh, I love it. A holiness Christian will usually go even beyond what the Bible teaches, because they want nothing to bring a question around their testimony. They don't want nothing to put any mark on them. They want to be so committed to God that nobody can ever doubt them. That's how I want to live. I want to live so committed to God. And you know what? I believe there is a growing interest right now in what's happening in our world. Yesterday, we had a family get together in our community. All the families, about 30, 35. And the Lord laid on my heart some days ago to give every family on the street we live a copy of my book on Revelation called The Masterpiece. And so yesterday, I said to two or three of them, I'm bringing you a book in the next few days. And I told them what the title was. And they reacted with absolute joy. I want to study that subject. I think there's a growing interest in Revelation all over the church world. I really do. I think the hour is here that this has got to become an understanding subject. And I counseled everybody on the radio yesterday to read the book of Revelation on your knees. To read it deeply and slowly and study it until you learn everything about it. Because we are living in the day. You need everything God's got to deal with this world. Everything. Well, here these men are adjuring this demon to come out, or demons to come out. And they did it in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. Well, I got news for you. You can't cast out a devil in Joe Chambers' name, or Marlon Clark's name, or Joey Yates' name, or Eugene Smith's name. If you cast the devil out, you better cast them out in the name of Jesus, and you better know the Jesus that you're using. and the name that you're using. And you better be hid in that name. Hallelujah. Thank God for the times we've seen demons cast out. You remember the young man? His first name was Job, won't call no more, who came right there at that post under conviction one Sunday morning. He was desperate to be saved, and he was possessed. And immediately those demons began to manifest. And I don't know who came and helped me, but two or three of you men came, and we prayed and cast that demon out, and it was gone. I talked to him this week. He was wonderfully delivered. He remembers it with great joy and great delight. And he still has some needs, but I won't go into that this morning. Just pray for him, okay? Call his name Joe. I want to tell you something. Demons know who is speaking to them. So all you got to do is get on your face and pray till you know you're full of God and full of His Spirit, until you live in the Holy Ghost power and live a godly life, a holy life, nothing of the Bible contradictory in your life. And then you have the right to pray, and you have the right to claim this. You can go in your home, in your bedroom. You can find that family that you're in love with that the devil is destroying. And you can get on your knees in your home. And their home may be 10 miles away or 100 miles away. Distance will make no difference. And you can pray and bind that strong man. You probably won't do it in just a week, a day, a week. You'll probably be praying and seeking God. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will say, "It's done." Hallelujah. Somebody help me understand that. Oh, as you pray and fast and seek God and keep on crying out to God, all of a sudden you'll pray through and the Holy Ghost will say to you, "It's done." And you know you won that victory. Hallelujah. Anybody know a victory like that you'd like to win this week? Or maybe you won't win it this week. Maybe a month or two away. But you'll win it if you keep on. If you pray like I'm talking to you about praying. You fast. You set yourself apart. You make sure there's no world in your life. You make sure there's no contradictions in your life. You make sure you're living by this blessed old book. Every bit of it. Well, the Bible says, "And the man to whom the evil spirits was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Now, church, if ever your pastor has been hungry to see great victories for God, great triumphant victories, if ever I want you to win your families, see your wife or husband or sons or daughters or grandchildren right with God, oh, this hour is late. This hour is late. If Jesus comes today, how many of you have loved ones?